episode 151.
Late Night Internet Marketing.
This week on the Late Night Internet Marketing Podcast, we finally catch up with helpful pharmacist Brady Cole. He's going to tell us how he's a guy just like you and me, but he started a niche blog, took some action, and now he's making bank from some unexpected sources. All this and more from the Late Night Internet Marketing Podcast.
The Late Night Internet Marketing Podcast.
You've been working for somebody else, but you want a business to run yourself. You want to know how to start and where to begin. Can you get out your comfort zone, my friend? Yes, you can do it right when it's late at night. At the end of the day, your dreams burning inside. So keep it up and you will find that you're building your business one night at a time.
And now, broadcasting late at night from a little studio in the big state of Texas, your host, Mark Mason.
Hey, how is everyone doing today? I am so very excited about today's interview. I've been wanting to do this for so very long. My very good, close, and personal friend, Brady Cole, is in the house. And when I say that, you know, a lot of times I talk about my friends that are my online friends that I've made because of my online business. Brady is the flip of that. Brady Cole is a friend of mine who was my friend before he was doing anything with online business. And he saw the kinds of things that I was doing online. He started following guys like Pat Flynn, and he decided to start a blog about the thing that he knew about. You see, Brady is a pharmacist, and when he looked out there, he saw that there were a lot of pharmacy blogs that were for other pharmacists, but he didn't really see any pharmacy blogs that were for helping consumers. And as a manager of a big pharmacy with lots of years of pharmacy experience, he knew he could get information out there and help people with their day-to-day medical needs that were pharmacy-related. And so he started HelpfulPharmacist.com and has started to monetize that in some very unexpected ways. We're going to talk about his journey on the podcast. And what I want you to listen for today is some things that will inspire you to take action in your journey. Because I'm going to tell you, if Brady can do it starting from nowhere, you can do it too. We can all do it. Let's hear from Brady.
Hey, don't touch that dial. It's time for another fantastic guest on the Late Night Internet Marketing Podcast.
All right, so I am super excited to have what is actually the first ever studio guest in the history of the Late Night Internet Marketing Podcast. If you don't count Zach and Morgan when they were little kids, because they've been on the mic before, I have Brady Cole, the Helpful Pharmacist, which sometimes I screw up and call the Happy Pharmacist, which makes us both laugh. Brady, how you doing?
I'm good, man. I can't believe I'm in the little studio in the big state of Texas.
Yeah, this is the little studio in the big state of Texas. And if you, I guess this is, you live how far from me, maybe?
About 0.4 miles.
Yeah, not very far.
Yeah, and so can't believe I'm the first live, well, kind of live guest that you've ever had.
Yeah, first studio guest is what I'd say. So that's pretty exciting. And we have the house to ourselves today, which means that we have the alcohol rolling in the middle of the day. We're day drinking here in Texas. And we're going to talk a little bit about your blogging and online journey today. How's that sound?
Sounds good. And the Sam Adams is good payment for my services, so happy to be here.
Yeah, it's my great pleasure to have you. So I guess the first question is, why talk about this? And for me, I think that was even a question that Brady and I talked about, was would this be interesting to people? And I think it's interesting for a lot of reasons. One reason is you started on your journey like so many people do. You just you had an idea that you wanted to create some kind of online presence and you moved forward with that. I think it's an inspirational story. We're going to get into that. You also have had some success. We're going to talk about that success. And then like so many times before, and like my friend Leslie Samuel talks about, this blog of yours has transitioned into something new and created some other opportunities for you. We're going to talk about that. And so I think the idea of this conversation is to unpack your journey a little bit, and hopefully there will be something from your journey that listeners will take away and will motivate them to do something amazing in their own lives. How's that sound?
Sounds great. And got a little story before we start that the way I first found out that you had a podcast, or not even that, I just found out about podcasting in general through you. And I remember this distinctly. I don't know why I remember it so well, but we play softball together. And before we started playing softball, we knew each other fairly well, but not we weren't close friends at that point. One of our first practices, we were at DBAT, hitting balls in the cage, and you asked me, you know, did I ever listen to like podcasts? And I'm like, no, what's a podcast? And then you were like, well, you know, to explain to what it was, and told me you listened to business podcasts. And I'm like, yeah, that doesn't sound very interesting. So, you know, I questioned at that time if you were going to be a very fun guy to hang around with or not.
So what's the conclusion? Am I fun to hang around with?
Definitely. You're fun to hang out with. And you got me hooked on podcasts. You got me hooked on your podcast. So not only do I listen to business podcasts now, I'm actually on my first one, which is quite an honor.
Yeah, so I'm really glad to have you. That's funny. So, yeah, we DBAT is a very nice indoor batting cage here in close to the little studio in Dallas, and we go there all the time to try and make the softball team better. Sometimes that works, sometimes not so much. So you had that first exposure to podcasts, and you know, as I recall, it came up that I had a podcast, and we had some discussion about blogging, and then at some point, you decided, hey, maybe you should start a blog. Can you recall that? I guess this was a couple of years ago now. Can you talk about what sparked that initial idea and how you got to that point?
Yeah, I do remember that. My initial idea from listening to you was to maybe get in and do some affiliate marketing. And I had some ideas. I remember, you know, coming over to your house one night and talking to you about a website I wanted to start. And you told me, you know, you kind of have a good idea, but the product line you're looking at is not one that's going to make you any money. So, you know, I don't think you should pursue this one too hard, but maybe pick a different area.
So the commercial viability wasn't great. We did some of the standard analysis that I talk about all the time, and we convinced each other that it wasn't a great idea.
Right, yeah. Right. So that was, you know, that was my initial idea, and you gave me some good advice there. And at the same time, I had been just on my personal Facebook page, just, you know, writing about like pharmacy tips for my friends, you know, things that people should know that would help them go into the pharmacy, like, you know, there's these manufacturer coupons that you can get. And so I would write on Facebook these little posts about those kind of things. And, you know, after I wrote a few of those, you know, you and I kind of talked about, hey, this would be a good idea for a blog maybe. And so, you know, that's kind of how it started. It was just started as, you know, innocent little post on Facebook, just trying to help my friends. And, you know, you mentioned to me that maybe more than just my friends would be helped by this. So, you know, maybe I should think about looking into a full blog, which I did.
Yeah. And so I guess there's a couple of things to unpack here. One thing that I think is immediately interesting that maybe people don't realize. So first of all, you're a pharmacist.
Yes.
Which is a thing. And you go to school for that. And that gives you this kind of medical information that most people don't have. And so from my perspective, that immediately gave you an unfair advantage over a bunch of other people who might want to talk about topics that matter to people because you have special knowledge that other people don't have.
Yeah, and so, you know, I work with everyday people every day, you know, just general public, you know, the same kind of people that would be reading blogs or be on websites, just that's my job.
Yeah, people come to you, right? And not just, I mean, people come to you at work, but they also come to you just like out of the blue and say, hey, I have this question, or, you know, I imagine some of these questions are pretty hilarious, but I have this condition, and what do you think I should, ointment should I put on my strange condition, that sort of stuff?
Right, right. My friends, my relatives, the mothers of my kids' friends.
Right, right. Not me, you understand, but someone. I'm asking for a friend.
Right,
that
right.
Sort
Never
of thing,
from
right?
you. You always only ask for a friend for some reason and not for yourself. So, but I know you have a lot of friends, so.
So we did, as I recall, we did some checking around, and what we found was that a lot of the pharmacy bloggers were B2B bloggers that were blogging for other pharmacists. They were writing about pharmacy to pharmacists, and there weren't so many authors writing about pharmacy to people.
Yeah, yeah. That's the first thing I did was look around for some other blogs, and I found quite a few good ones. But like you said, most of them were talking to other pharmacists and talking about, you know, working conditions and, you know, things at work and things you can do better or things you can do different, or complaining about their jobs, commiserating. But that's not what I wanted to do. That had already been done. And there's a lot of negativity out there that really turned me off. And I didn't want to be that person. So, you know, the thought was pharmacist to patient, something anybody could read and benefit from. And it wasn't from a commercial standpoint, just things that can help them in general treating general conditions or, you know, things that could make it easier, make them understand how the pharmacy works better so that it can make it easier on them when they go there and those type of things.
Yeah. So I think there are some favorite ones of mine. You've had some pretty popular articles. One particular article about how to dispose of old medicine. That's been a good one for you from a social media standpoint. Another article in the springtime about the different kinds of sinus medicines, you know, and our allergy medicines rather, and you know, what's the difference between them and when to choose which one and all this kind of stuff that, I mean, people are standing in the pharmacy with their arms crossed and there's a big line at the pharmacist counter so they don't have, you know, they don't feel comfortable walking over and asking the pharmacist. These are the kinds of questions. And I guess one of the things that I thought was so cool about this is your day is just like an endless stream of ideas that comes from your customers, right?
Yeah, yeah. That's what I feed off of most of the time is as I'm answering questions at work, you know, I think about things and, hey, would this make a good article for the website? You know, and that's where I get a lot of my ideas. A lot of them, you know, some I plan out ahead and some just spontaneously kind of pop up throughout the week just from the course of normal business.
Now, we had talked about originally, you know, one of the things that I teach and that we talked about was that when you have these ideas, hey, I want a pharmacy website, thing one is you need to be able to help people. And I think that was obvious immediately. That was the whole point of this, going to be the whole point of this website. But the second thing was monetization, and so we talked a little bit about the things that we might or might not be able to monetize with a pharmacy website. Can you talk a little bit about the kind of things that are for sale in a pharmacy that you might want to help people choose and how those kind of things can work and what our thoughts were around that?
Yeah, you know, that kind of website, when you have all these helpful articles and, you know, these things are things that Google can pick up on because people will search for them. And so if you can build your online presence, then, you know, maybe you can get some affiliate offers worked in there somewhere. You know, products that a pharmacist recommends are not expensive. So, you know, there's a little bit of limitation there. So, you know, if I'm recommending Tylenol, you don't have to use a link from a website to buy Tylenol. You can just go get it. And even if you did, it's only $4. So, you know, there's not a lot of profit there. But, you know, I did write an article about blood pressure monitors and which ones, you know, work better than others. I did a lot of research on that one. So there's some, a little bit of monetization there, potential, but, you know, that's, I quickly realized that the website was going to be more of a, you know, more of a, something I can be proud of and something that's going to help people. But unless I'm putting ads on there, it's not going to have a big dollar potential.
Right. And we, I'm not sure that it's fair to say that that's been completely exhausted either, right? I mean, because there are things that you can attack, like that, you know, these multi-tens of dollar items that like blood pressure monitors. There are also kind of home remedy ebooks and information products. That's something you haven't talked about or we haven't talked about or tried to tackle at all. But once you had a lot of traffic, you know, there are things you could do, but at this point, I guess the approach has been some affiliate marketing and some pretty limited success, I guess is how you'd describe it.
Right? Yeah, it hadn't been a lot of success yet, but you know, traffic levels are pretty good on the site. And I think that, you know, it's been hard to find the time to work on it as much as I'd like to, because, you know, the job takes up a lot of time and my kids take up a lot of time and, just things like that, make it hard. You know, I want to put out a article every week, but I don't, you know, and I don't tweak the website as much as I want to, just cause I don't, you know, I don't have time. And so I think it could be more successful than it has been, but I'm very happy with the response I've gotten so far and the success and the Google rankings are coming. You can see them building up a little bit. It's not been a fast thing at all. But, you know, I think I've got really good quality content, like you said, like your advice was always, is, you know, put out good quality and the traffic will come. And that's, you know, I do see that happening.
Yeah, you know, we track this in Ahrefs, and there's definitely, it's interesting to see how the traffic has gone, you know, how the traffic is continues to build. And I think that this thing that you described, that's the challenge of finding the time to work in the margins. I think that's a challenge that everybody has. So how do you deal with that? I mean, you have this job and you have a family and you have kids, you have a shortstop and that, that plays alongside my second baseman and you have all these kind of commitments. How do you find time to even write a 1,000-word article for that blog?
Well, it's not easy. I mean, one good thing about my job in that respect is I work weird hours. So, you know, sometimes I'll go to work at 1 o'clock and I'll work to 9. So that'll give me the morning to do things, or maybe I'll have a day off during the week. And in the summer, it's impossible because the kids, you know, want my attention every second of every minute of every hour when I'm at home, which is great. I love that. And I wouldn't change it, but it makes it hard to get work done.
Right.
But during the school year, that gives me a little time to work. You know, assuming I don't have appointments doing something else. But it gives me time to write and gives me time to plan and time to work on the website. It's not a lot of time, but, you know, that's where I kind of carve it out. Sometimes I'll stay up late like you do, but I can't go late into the night like the trained professional here.
Yeah, I it is late night internet marketing. I have the brand to consider, so I, you know, I have a certain amount of that I need to do. So you had this, you know, you have this progress that you made, and you created this thing, but it's you know, you work for a company, and that company has, you know, they sell pharmaceuticals, and here you are out there creating a pharmacy related brand. And, you know, is that a conflict of interest, and how have you managed that? Do they know about it? I mean, what's the deal with that? And did you worry about that at all?
Yeah, I did. I didn't know how they were going to respond to it. And, yeah, that did worry me because I didn't want to get this thing going and put all this work into it and then have somebody at work and say, well, you know, we really don't approve of you doing this. So I met that head on. Before I ever published the first thing, I sent an email to my direct supervisor and his direct supervisor, who's the director of our division, and said, hey, look, this is what I'm doing. This is why I'm doing it. This is what's going to be on the site. This is what's not going to be on the site. And, you know, I didn't ask permission. I just said, hey, I'm doing this. And I didn't say, let me know what you think. I just said, hey, this is going to happen. And, you know, I just let them respond in the way they wanted to, which was no response.
Yeah.
So I figured, you know, once they read that, I had done my job of informing them. And since they had no comment, I was good to go.
Yeah, it sort of gives you the high ground, right? I mean,
yes.
you've been completely transparent. They know what you're doing. And you've made a decision. You don't talk about your employer on your blog, right?
No.
So, and there's not a reason to, for that matter. But, I mean, you don't, there's no issue there. I think, but at least at one point, you have had at least, pharmacists like doctors have opinions about what is medically, what the correct medical response is. So there is still this thing out there that there may be some official recommendation from your company, and you may have a different opinion about what the right thing to say is, right? So that's still out there as a thing you might have to deal with, right?
Yeah, it could be. But, you know, it's that way at work every day, too. I'm giving out the same advice at work as I do on the website. So, you know, those same possibilities exist every day, all the time.
Okay. Yeah, that makes sense. So one of the cool things about this thing, which I guess right now your intention is to just keep investing in this property as you can, as your time allows, and grow it and see where it grows to. Is that a fair characterization?
Yeah. And the reason I do that is because, one, I enjoy it. It's fun, I think, to write and create your own content and put your own voice out there in a way that you control, and you don't have people making a lot of rules for you and what you can say and what you can do and when you can do it and when you can't do it.
Right.
So I love to have that control. I love to reach a bigger audience. And what I found was, as soon as I started this, the only people I had to share it with were my friends on Facebook. And so every time I'd put an article up, I would share it on Facebook, and I got a really good response from a lot of my friends and a lot of people who were really, really supporting me and encouraging me, which, you know, gave me a great feeling that I was doing something that was really benefiting people and not just myself. So I got several people reaching out to me every time I'd post something. Hey, I love your writing. I love your message. Your articles are great to read, easy to read. You're funny. And I love that feedback and that support. And so that's what really kept me going. You know, once I got those first few articles out there, I got such a good response on Facebook, and people were sharing my articles. And, you know, it made me want to do more. And so, you know, it turned the mindset a little bit away from trying to make money from this, just to building a property that I can be proud of and that that other people can rely on and benefit on and refer people to. And when they get stuck on a question, you know, maybe instead of calling me or calling their pharmacist, they'll go to my site first and say, hey, has Brady written about this? And, you know, let me look here first before I go anywhere else, because this is a place I want to get my information.
Yeah, that's really cool. And, you know, I think the cool thing about it for me is I know that it's true that if one person asks me a question, there's almost always 1,000 people that also have that question. And if you can write that answer down, then all of a sudden you can take that one answer that you wrote for one person and you can multiply the help that you're delivering by 1,000. And that's clearly happening with helpfulpharmacist.com, right?
Yeah, it is. And I don't have nearly the fan base that you have. So I can imagine, you know, if I ever do get to that point, you know, there's only so many hemorrhoid cream questions you can answer, and before it starts getting repetitive, you know. So hopefully, actually, I haven't gotten any of those. But if I did, you could see how that would get old pretty fast.
Yeah,
Absolutely.
So, you know, I have this friend who...
Oh, your friend again, okay.
Yeah, I have this friend, Leslie. No. I have this friend, Leslie. He's really a friend, Leslie Samuel, who's over at becomeablogger.com. And he has this amazing story that he tells about how his blog, he was able to parlay his blog on biology into a gig teaching biology at a university without a PhD, by the way. So wow. I still don't know exactly how he did that. So we know that blogs can have this effect where, you know, they can give you legitimacy and roll into other things. And this is sort of thing has actually happened to you in a roundabout way, I guess, where you have one of the reasons that you're not so focused on affiliate marketing is that your blog has opened up a new revenue stream for you. Can you talk about that a little bit and maybe explain what went down there?
Yeah, definitely. One of the things that I heard advice from you and from Pat Flynn and from Darren Rouse, you know, I listen to their podcasts. I don't know them, but
Pat's awesome. So's Darren.
Yeah, I can tell.
And they're coming to Dallas, so I'm hoping to remedy that you don't know them business.
Okay.
Yeah.
That would be awesome. Yeah, the pro blogger's coming here.
Yeah,
right?
That's right. Pro blogger is coming here, and Pat's coming here for FinCon, and so I'm working on a thing. We'll see how it goes.
Awesome. Yeah, that would be. I would love to meet them, but you know, one thing that you guys all mention is to reach out to other people in your field. Don't look at them as competitors. Look at them as, you know,
right,
people that can help you along your journey, and you can do the same for them. And so, you know, when I started doing that, I noticed that a lot of the people who I enjoyed their work the most, the people that were positive and not the people who were negative and complaining all the time, the people that were more in my mindset, I would see their work in other places, not just on their blogs, but, you know, I saw them writing for different websites and, you know, some of them were in magazines and they were sharing stuff from all over the place that didn't just belong to them. So, you know, that was one thing that really interested me is, you know, I saw this one guy, he's called the Honest Apothecary.
Apothecary is a word that means something pharmacy related, right?
Right. So I followed him pretty closely and I noticed he was working for, several different publications and, you know, that kind of got on my radar as something that I'd like to do. Eventually, you know, I didn't know how to go about it, but that definitely caught my attention. Like, right. Wow, wouldn't that be cool to be published somewhere, you know, besides just my own website? So, and a real coincidence happened. I had another job. I was a recruiter for my company, and I had territories. I had stores up in Chicago, and I did that for about 5 years, and I got to know, you know, everybody that works up there really well. And the guy who had been the director of pharmacy up there, his name was Ed Cohen. He was a good friend of mine. You know, we hung out every time I went in town. And even after he left the company, you know, he took me down to a bowl game in San Antonio where his Michigan Wolverines were playing. So we were good friends. But, you know, he left and went to another company. I hadn't heard from him in probably 10 years or so. And he somehow saw the blog. And he contacted me through the blog and you know, actually he did it pretty early on and he left a comment somewhere that because of my newness to the blog, you know,
the blogosphere and WordPress and all that, yeah.
I didn't even see it. He put it in a place where I didn't know to look for it.
Oh wow, okay.
So I didn't even see it until maybe 4 or 5 months after he put it up there, which, you know, could have been a huge missed opportunity.
Right.
Because so he just kind of reached out and said, hey, you know, I like what you're doing here. And as a matter of fact, I work for Pharmacy Times now and wanted to know if you'd be interested in writing for us. And so, you know, I saw that 4 months later and went, oh my gosh.
Right. Yeah. I think that was my reaction too, right? I was like, oh my gosh.
Yeah. I can't believe I missed this. But luckily, you know, I contacted him and he answered me right away and said, yeah, yeah, no problem. You know, I wasn't thinking you were ignoring me. But yeah, I still work here. We're still interested in working with you. And, just wanted to know if that's something you'd like to do. And I was like, yes, of course.
Yeah. So you've written for Pharmacy Times a couple of times and they pay by the article and the stipend that they pay you is significant. And that's a whole potential different revenue stream that is derivative from the blog, right? So that's super cool.
Yeah, it is. And what I didn't understand about it is they, and I'm sure most online publications are like this, they are looking for just as much content as they can get. And so there is no limit on how much you can write or what you can write about. It's very self-driven, just like my website. And I can write what I want. I can, you know, do it at my own pace. I could do it as fast or as slow as I want. And they want all of it.
And so, they've just got their checkbook ready and waiting for you to send in content.
They want all of it. They want all of it. And if you send them stuff that's good and you spell check yourself,
right,
and you have a decent topic, you're going online. And it's a lot easier than I thought it would be. And they pay by the word. You know, they give you limitations on how short or how long it should be. But other than that, you know, they don't really tell me what to do, which is, you know, kind of my style.
Yeah, right. Yeah, exactly. I understand. So, I mean, I think that this is a great example of, you know, the blog has turned into something. The blog's not gone away. There's still, you know, you're still investing there, but it's opened up doors for you that you hadn't even considered before. So that's super cool. I also love that he just found you. That's one of the most magical things about being a blogger, right? Is people walk up to you and they say, hey, I read your stuff. That's really cool, right?
Right, right. And I do get people at work sometimes that'll stop by and say, you know, especially when I shared that my first Pharmacy Times article, which did really well, you know, I had several customers that saw it somehow. And they'd run by the pharmacy, hey, I saw your picture online. And I was like, yeah, that's really cool. And it's very ironic that he works for that same magazine where I saw the Honest Apothecary's articles. And, you know, I was targeting them as a place I wanted to go. And I think I would have gotten there eventually on my own. But this kind of sped it up a little bit. You know, and another good thing that came out of that is I got such a good response from the online articles that another editor from the print magazine contacted me after I'd written a few for the online version. And they wanted me to write some print articles that are a little more technical, a little more clinical, a little more out of my comfort zone, but something that I'm interested in, and they pay about three times what the online people pay.
So that's very nice.
That's very nice. Yeah, I mean, yeah. There's a limit on how much and how often you can do those, and they do assign you the topics, but you know, it's an opportunity for a new horizon, a new place to distribute your content, and also a way to make even more money.
Yeah, it's really cool. So I recall one thing that I wanted to bring up that is a tactical thing. So when they first published your very first article on Pharmacy Times, you got a lot of traffic, as I recall, and there was a lot of interest in that article. It's an excellent article. I'll link to it in the show notes. But we looked at that article, and the first thing that we noticed was that in your bio, there was a link to Helpful Pharmacist, your blog, in the bio. Can you talk about what we saw there and what we did and what the result of that was?
Yeah, definitely. You know, I was really excited about this, and you were excited for me as well. And, you know, my first response was, hey, I could make $100 for writing an article. And your first response was, don't even worry about that. All you need to worry about is, can you get some backlinks from this to bring authority to your site?
Typical SEO answer, right?
Yeah, you need authority to your site, and this would be awesome. And so I'm like, yeah, I mean, I have this bio that I can write myself, and I can put anything I want to in there. And, you know, so I'm going to put my website in there, of course. And so I did, but when the article was published, I noticed there was not a hyperlink. So it said the name of my website, but you couldn't click on it and go there.
Right.
So there was no backlink. There was no referral of direct referral of traffic. So at one point, I mentioned to the editor, I said, hey, you know, she was telling me how well my article did. And I said, man, you know, my website's doing great too. This is really helping me. And I said, but, you know, if I had a clickable link on my bio, I bet you my traffic would have been twice what it has been. And
right.
She said, well, you know, it's important to our bosses to help you guys too. And so I will put a link in there for you. And so not only did she make that a hyperlink, she also made a hyperlink on my Twitter handle and my Facebook page. So yeah. I got all three of those with a hyperlink in there now.
Yeah, very nice. And I think, you know, from an SEO standpoint, the thing is the backlink gives authority to your site. I mean, the direct traffic is amazing because, you know, a professional blog like Pharmacy Times has orders of magnitude more traffic than you have, right? So direct traffic is fantastic. But also, the direct link is amazing from an SEO standpoint and immediately showed up in Ahrefs and increased the authority of the blog. So that's really cool. So, so how long have you been doing this now?
Started in January of last year. So year and a half now.
Yeah, year and a half now. And definitely a revenue stream has been created for you and your lovely little family that lives 4/10 of a mile from my house. So that's great. Congratulations. What do you think, you know, what are your hopes and dreams for the next year and a half? I mean, what do you plan to do just in general terms and what do you still hope to accomplish? I guess you still hope to help people. That's one thing.
Yeah. I mean, I want to keep putting articles up. I want to keep coming up with new ideas. You know, I would like to find a way to make a little more money off the website. And I think I will. You know, it's going to take a little more work, a little more consistency. I think that my biggest problem is lack of consistency of putting content up right now.
Yes, I'm familiar with this problem. Yeah, I understand this very all too well. Yes.
Yeah, yeah. So I think I've put up maybe 3 articles so far this year, which is not cutting it. But
right.
But you know, I've been busy obviously with other things, and you know, my followers know that. So, you know, it's not like I disappeared on them.
Right.
You know, they've been reading my stuff in other places. So they know what I've been doing, and I've still been helping them just in a different way. So you know, I want to work on this more. I want to find a way to you know, parlay this into more writing or maybe even some speaking. You know, I'd love to get into some speaking opportunities or engagements or jobs or, you know, whatever. I think the same kind of content that I'm writing could be, you know, could work well in a conference or some kind of setting like that. So, you know, I will be looking for opportunities to do things like that as well.
Yeah, absolutely. And I can hear just from this interview that you'll do well at that because you're naturally talented at that. So that's going to be great. So if you, like me, had the ear of people who were thinking about getting started, but they weren't sure what to do, or they weren't sure how to do it, or they weren't sure they were going to be successful, or they had the list of 17 things that they just didn't know and just weren't sure. They just afraid they might fail. They weren't sure what the people were going to think or if anyone would care what they had to say, or, you know, all the little voices, right? What do you have to say to those people?
Well, you know, one thing, I have one unfair advantage is living 0.4 miles away from you is definitely an unfair advantage because, you know, when I get stuck or I need some help, I got the trained professional right down the street. So, you know, but I can tell you I have next to zero technical abilities. I'm not good on a computer. I'm not good with a spreadsheet. I know going into this knew nothing at all about how to even start a website or design a website or, you know, I knew how to write, but I had no technical skills.
Right.
But I've been able to put it together and it wasn't that hard. And, you know, a lot of the things I learned just by listening to your, you know, your podcast and not by you doing it for me. And I've tried to be very respectful of your time there and not ask you to do everything for me. Although I know you would.
Yeah, I'll work for beer. You know.
Yeah, I have Sam Adams at my house too. So, you know, it's not as hard as it sounds. When you think about creating a website and running one and managing one, it sounds like a really big deal, and it's really not that hard. Anybody can do it. WordPress makes it very easy as long as you know what plugins to put in and, you know, how to manage your privacy and your security. And, you know, you go through all that stuff on, you know, that's what your job is, to tell us all those things.
Right.
So, you know, what I would say is, if you have a good idea, you know, first run it by a few people before you do it. And it doesn't have to be Mark. It could be, you know, somebody you respect at work, or a family member, or your spouse, or, you know, somebody that'll tell you the truth. That's what you need. And once you kind of validate that, you know, go for it. Don't let those questions stop you or delay you, because if they delay you, they may delay you forever.
Yeah. So you got to take bold action, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely.
Awesome. Brady Cole, I appreciate your time today. This has been fantastic. I hope that people will hear a nugget, just a single nugget, even of something that will move them, that will inspire them, that will make them realize that whatever it is that they're dreaming about doing is actually possible. And if they want to see your example and check you out, where can they find you, the Helpful Pharmacist?
Well, several places. HelpfulPharmacist.com would be a great place to start. You could check me on Twitter at HelpfulRPH. RPH is an abbreviation for pharmacist. I have a Facebook page, is also Helpful Pharmacist. Or you can look on Pharmacy Times and search Brady Cole, and all my articles will pop up there, including the one that was based on something I heard on your show, and you did.
Oh, that's right. I forgot all about that article. Yeah, so I'll link to that article in the show notes. That's a fun thing where the late night internet marketing community gets a shout out on Pharmacy Times.
Right, right. And so I heard you say just in passing, bring your own weather wherever you go. And I took that concept and, you know, wrote an article about it. And it's funny you mentioned, you know, dealing with your employer, and whether they'll approve of what you're doing or not. And what I'm doing, I think they very much should, because
yeah,
I mean, I represent the company really well. But our director is really a big motivation person. She loves motivation. She loves, you know, things like bring your own weather. She loves it. And so I sent that article directly to her once it was posted. And she liked it so much, she sent it to every store. And she also sent it to her husband, who is a Boy Scout leader, and he used it at their big Boy Scout conference.
There you go.
And, you know, they use that throughout their whole, you know, big camp out. And as one of their mottos of the week was bring your own weather. So, you know, you started all that, and I ran with it a little bit more, and some other people ran with it some more. And that's one of the best things I've ever written, in my opinion.
Awesome. Well, thank you very much, Brady Cole. And if you have questions for Brady, be sure and leave them in the comments with the show notes, or maybe even better, Brady is a member of the Late Night Internet Marketing Facebook community. You can find that at latenightim.com/FB group. And I'm sure if you join in there and ask Brady a question about his experience, he'd be happy to answer that for you. Brady, been a real pleasure. Thank you so much. Talk to you soon.
Thank you. Thanks for the beer.
Bye. Okay, that was really fun. Brady is a really good friend of mine. We have done all kinds of stuff together. And in fact, by the time you hear this, we will have just gotten back from taking our kids to the Imagine Dragons concert. It's going to be my 10-year-old son's first actual for real concert that he wanted to go to. So that's very exciting. We play on a softball team together, and it's just a lot of fun for me. I hope it was fun for you. But again, I hope that you can take a couple of ideas from Brady's story about his journey. The kinds of ideas that occur to me are, he didn't know really
how to start or where to start, but he didn't let that worry him. He figured stuff out as he went along, and when he needed help, he asked for it. He leveraged stuff that he already knew about and something that was in his life that he cared about, and he didn't worry so much about the whole big business plan right up front. He just knew he had something viable, and he took action. And then the other thing that I think is so amazing about this story is he wasn't completely focused on one particular outcome here. He left himself open to opportunity and got these writing gigs that are actually paying more money than most bloggers ever make from their blog each time he writes an article. Just a really, really cool story. And so I hope you can take some motivation from that. And until next time, I'm Mark Mason from the Little Studio in Dallas, and I hope you have an absolutely fantastic week.
You can do it right when it's late at night.
You've been listening to the Late Night Internet Marketing Podcast.
Be sure to visit latenightpodcast.com today to leave feedback for Mark. Download special bonus content, access the show notes, and more. See you there.
Until then, go and make some great progress on your internet business. One night at a time.
One night at a time.
Okay. All right. You ready to rock and roll?
Yeah. Do we have any voice exercises we need to do?
You know, we don't, but...
I know there is such a thing.
There is. So when I was... when I did a lot of voice work, they taught us voice exercises. And one of the things that you worry about is sibilance. And you're going to want to watch that chair. And it's... sibilance, I guess. And it's the so we would say those old boats don't float. So you can say that.
Those old boats don't float.
Yeah, that's right. And we say that over and over and over again. So that's one thing that we did.
Got it.
When I did singing, we would sing zing a mama, zing a mama, zing a mama, zing a mama, zing, zing, zing.
I'm not going to do that.
You're not going to say zing a mama, zing a mama. Come on, man. Zing a mama, zing a mama. You can do
zing a mama, zing a mama, zing a mama, zing a mama, zing.
Zing, zing.
Zing, zing.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. So, see? So, your voice exercises are complete. Do you feel well exercised?
Yes.
All right. Very good. Okay.
Late night internet marketing.
Hey, it's Mark again. I wanted to tell you one more time about this absolutely free resource that I have for helping people who are trying to get the big picture for internet marketing actually get started and understand what all their choices are. If that's not you, there's no more content. You can skip to the end. But if you're someone who came to this podcast because you're searching for how to get started online and you just can't cut through all the noise, I get it. That was me. In 2007, when I was trying to get started, there were so many people throwing offers at me that I really couldn't even understand what all the different business models were. I couldn't understand how money moved around on the internet, and I couldn't really get a grip on what direction I wanted to go in so I could figure out how to move forward. I've created a free video resource for you just for that purpose at latenightim.com/explain. In several short videos, I just explained to you what internet marketing is all about and what online business is all about and the different options that you have for starting an online business. There's nothing to buy there. You just sign up for access and you get the videos just like that. So if that's interesting to you, or if you know someone who's in a same situation, send them that link, latenightim.com/explain. And let me know what you think. I'd love to hear what people are thinking that are in the exact same position that I was in more than a decade ago in 2007. In some ways, it seems like yesterday. And in some ways, it seems like an entire lifetime ago. Again, that's latenightim.com/explain.
Late Night Internet Marketing.